Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are endeavoring to learn some things about Christian fellowship from the inspired words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15. And we are particularly at this time focusing upon some of the elements of Christian fellowship. What are the various items which, when practiced, constitute Christian fellowship as it is taught and envisioned in the Word of God? And we've seen two things so far. Number one, Christian fellowship requires personal interaction. You've got to be present with the people that you are fellowshipping with. Number two, Christian fellowship requires mutual edification. Our fellowship is not simply to chit-chat, but it is to minister to one another according to the various gifts which God has given to each of His children. Every Christian is a gifted believer, and every believer is therefore supposed to be contributing his particular gifts to the body of Christ. And that's fellowship, dear folks. Now, there are aspects of giftedness, aspects of ministry that might rise to us another category in addition to fellowship, such as the public ministry of God's Word. But most of our contribution to one another in the body of Christ is going to be on the level of Christian fellowship. And so there must be personal interaction, there must be mutual edification, and thirdly, there need to be mutual prayers. Paul said in verse 30 of chapter 15, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Now that is a very interesting text. And it says some things about prayer that perhaps are not often emphasized, but let us notice once again what Paul says. "Now I beg you, brethren," this is urgent. What Paul is about to say to them is an urgent matter. Prayer is an urgent matter. It is vital. It is certainly considered urgent and vital in the Bible. It is considered urgent and vital by those Christians of early days who understood the importance of it, such as the Apostle Paul, and therefore it ought to be considered urgent and vital to us. If it is not, then there evidently is something about our Christianity which falls far short of the level of Christianity experienced by Paul and by these early Christians. So once again, verse 30 of chapter 15, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Paul is asking for prayer. He wants them to pray for him. He wants them to uphold him in prayer. But notice the way he puts it, that you strive together with me in prayers. Prayer is not an easy matter. Spiritually powerful praying requires wrestling. It requires energy. It is a battle. It is a spiritual battle. Now, sometimes the spiritual aspects of the battle are very apparent, and sometimes They are disguised as more physical matters. Remember Christ in the garden with his three disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest, and how he asked them to pray for him and pray with him. That, too, is a very interesting situation. Jesus asked them to pray while he went alone to pray. He was engaged in spiritual battle. He knew it. And he asked them to pray for him, and they couldn't. They tried, but they couldn't. They fell asleep. They kept falling asleep. Their bodies were weary. They had just reached the end of their endurance. And so they just couldn't stay awake. And Christ didn't rebuke them sharply because of their prayerlessness. He just simply said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That is so often the way it is. But we need to realize that even that, though it sounds like maybe a simple physical matter, and it certainly was a physical matter, that's a spiritual battle too. We've got to fight to overcome the weaknesses of our flesh. We've got to fight to overcome the distractions of a busy schedule, of the complex lives that we live in our technical, sophisticated 21st century. We've got to strive to overcome the sense that we are not accomplishing anything in prayer. We've got to strive to overcome unbelief, and we've got to strive to find that time that we can devote to earnest believing prayer. We've got to strive to overcome the various weaknesses of the flesh that always kick in whenever we are engaged in personal and private prayer. And Paul recognized that. "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." And all of this is in the context of Christian fellowship. And so we realize that mutual prayers are an important part of our Christian fellowship. When we get together to fellowship one with another, part of what we do ought to be to pray together. To pray together. Now that too may seem to be a lost emphasis. How many Christians get together to pray? We talk about getting together for fellowship. We talk about getting together over a meal for fellowship. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's excellent. It's very apparent to me that there was a great deal of that was going on in the New Testament church, the early church in the New Testament days. They ate together. They worshiped together. They prayed together. And that's a very important part of our fellowship, is to learn to pray together. And those who pray together will build strong ties of fellowship one with another. Those who do not pray together may have very weak ties of fellowship. You know, one of the phenomenon that we see in our day, I guess it's a phenomenon, is the practice of church hopping, or various other titles that are given to it, but just the inclination that people seem to have to just bounce from one church to another. Sort of like, I'll try this one out for a while and see how I like it. And after a while, well, I'm getting a little bit bored there. I think maybe there's a new one over here. You know, a new church started in town. I'm hearing a lot of things about that. I think I'll go over and try that one for a while. And so over there we go, and oh, this is exciting and new, and ain't this great? And then after a while, it could be weeks, could be months, could be years, passing of a few years. Well, I think I'm kind of burned out on that one, but I've heard about another one over here. Or maybe not a new one this time, but maybe an established church that seems to be showing new signs of life, and I want to go over and check that out. And so it goes, hopping from church to church to church throughout one's Christian sojourn. Now, there are a lot of problems with this. There are a lot of symptoms of our age that I think contribute to this, but I would submit to you that one of them is right here before us. People who really develop deep ties of spiritual fellowship aren't likely to just pull up stakes and trot away like that so easily. Now, it's because we tend to have very shallow relationships that this seems to be possible, seems to be very, very easy to do. And that just is an evidence that we are not developing the kinds of relationships with one another in the body of Christ that the New Testament Scriptures describe for us. If we are truly members of the same body and are joined together and are contributing to one another in the body, then we're just not going to jerk ourselves away from that and head off someplace else and start rebuilding those ties all over again. In the first place, building ties like that takes a great deal of time and investment. And when you take that seriously, you're not going to be too anxious to start all over because you know the enormous work that's involved. But even before you get to that level, you need to realize that it's not easy to pull away from ties of fellowship that have truly been forged and maintained and strengthened over a period of months and years because of mutual edification and mutual prayers. You don't just drop that. Like, some people switch churches easier than they switch jobs. Some people switch jobs pretty easily, too. And that generally indicates a certain level of instability and lack of commitment and nothing wrong with changing jobs. I mean, that's a perfectly legitimate thing to do. I'm not fussing at people who change jobs. There are certainly times in our lives when that is not only desirable, but oftentimes is necessary. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but we've all known people who seem to change jobs about every year or less, just go from one to another to another to another. And we recognize that this is an evidence of lack of maturity, of lack of stability, of lack of something. Just a failure to recognize that when there's a problem, that it's not always the other guy's problem. That's the way people view it, you know. Well, I can't take this anymore because of this and that and the other. Don't seem to realize that when there's a problem, almost always there are two people who are contributing to the problem. And the way we learn to better deal with problems like this is to work through it, not to run from it. Well, the same thing happens in church fellowship, in church relationships. A problem arises, what do? I'll just leave. I'm uncomfortable. I don't like that. I'll just leave. And so you take your immature approach to addressing problems with you as you leave this church and go to the next one, and you haven't really solved anything. You are just simply repeating what you've done before. And so the same thing will happen eventually at the next church or the next job or whatever. But it's a symptom. It's an evidence that we are not forging these ties of real Christian fellowship that the Bible describes. Christian fellowship involves personal interaction. We generally understand that part. Christian fellowship involves mutual edification. I don't know how well we understand that part. And Christian fellowship involves mutual prayers. And that is certainly a weak and, in many cases, a missing element. We don't know how to pray with one another, how to pray for one another, how to develop prayer partners and prayer fellowships that have any meaning whatsoever. We need to learn to do that. Until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.